parsha this week. So I think that the fact that we read these parshas, this is sort of a double parsha. It's not common. It happens whenever Shavuos falls out on Friday. Because in Eretz Yisrael, they only keep one day Shavuos. So Shabbos after Shavuos becomes a parsha week. In America, second day Shavuos is Shavuos. So we don't read the parsha, so we fall a week behind. So in order to catch up, sometimes we do Matzah Basay. And in a leap year, so they would do Matzah together when they would normally not do it. But so that's an exception to the rule. So that's why Chesbach is pretty rare. It's only in a regular year when Shavuos is on Friday. So I think there's a reason why they're read together. There's actually a connection between the two parshas that one sets up a problem, Chuga sets a problem, and Balak sets up the answer. I'll explain what I mean. So Chugas, when I speak about Chugas, I always speak about death. It's part of death. Well, I want titles to my sermons I call Megadeth, you know. It's all about that. Starts off with Adam Kiyomas Ba'ol, a person dies in a tent. Someone gets in contact with a corpse, and they come Tameh, and they have to use a tough part of them to come Tara. Then it speaks about someone complains, and then Moshe and Aaron. Moshe hits rock instead of speaking to rock, so the whole tumult. And Moshe is decreed he's going to die, and Aaron actually dies in this week's parsha. Miriam dies in this week's parsha also, and there's a whole episode with the snakes, Nachash and Nechosh, they put a copper. The snake is also a symbol of death. Basically, the whole parsha is called death. It's all about that. Why is that parsha? So I think it has to do with. Is about chukim. So Rashi says in the first Rashi in 8:38, in the first Rashi in part chukas, the tisha satan ve'umas ha'olam monin es Yisrael lomar ma mitzvah zos ma tam ba yishba. Because Satan and umas ha'olam, Satan is not just an evil angel. It's the angel that testifies against us. Basically, the prosecuting angel. He prosecutes against us. Gets up in front of God and says, Jewish people are bad. Jewish people are not worthy. So Satan and Muslim, they give Musa to Jewish people. They say, well, you're crazy, you're nuts. What reason is this for this mitzvah? So you see, the Satan, what he does is he says, he doesn't say things according to God's perspective. He just says, you know, he says things that are not, we know are not true. I mean, basically, the Satan comes up with any, it's like a lawyer, like Zaidi say, lawyers are liars. I don't want to insult anyone who's a lawyer. But he says, lawyers are liars. A lawyer gets up and he says whatever he wants. So the Satan gets up and he says, you should be stupid. How can you keep this message? It's ridiculous. So it says, therefore it says, you can't ask questions. Since when does Judaism promote blind faith? There's no such thing. Judaism believes in you're supposed to think the philosophers speak about belief in God. They say emuna and das. Emuna means we spoke about this one today. Emuna means belief. Das means knowledge. So you have to have belief. Belief means you just have faith. Belief means that there's reason you believe. It's like compared to getting married. When you get married, you don't just say I have faith this person is going to be a good spouse. So you marry someone who you have evidence. You don't know for sure they're going to be a good person, but they're a good person. You never know where everyone is inside, but you have to have evidence. So that's what belief. Belief means you have to have some evidence that God exists, etc. The 13 principles of faith. It's not faith, it's belief. I believe in belief, complete belief. So belief means you have evidence. That's the way the Ramchal explains it, and Rambam explains it. All the Rishonim explain it. So basically the idea is that, how can you just have faith? So the answer is that, Hashem's not saying you have faith about everything. You have to have faith about some things, because some things you can't understand. The whole point of Parshas Chukos, the whole point of death is saying, we don't understand that. We don't know, death is a mystery to us. We don't know how what happens after death, what brings about death, God is in charge of all that. So it's God's realm. So he says, when it comes to death, when it comes to certain issues in life, you're not going to understand everything. You may not understand 99% of what's going on in the world, maybe 90%, who knows how much, but there's always going to be a percentage you're not going to understand. It's going to be beyond your abilities to understand. That's what we always explain, chukas. So chukas is about, chok is about, mitzvah chok is about us realizing that we have to have the humility to understand that we can't understand everything. We understand a lot of things, but there's a point where we just don't understand anything because that's God's realm of, which you're not going to understand. When it comes to evil, different topics that are very perplexing. We're not going to fully understand. Like Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't fully understand. He asked God to explain to him why bad things happen to good people, why bad things happen in the world. So God says, you see backwards, you don't see forwards. So Tzlach says in Mesechus Brachos, Tzlach was anointed by Yehuda. He says that it's only, the Gemara says in Mesechus Brachos that you see, make a bracha on good things, but you make a bracha on bad things also. Just like you make a bracha on good, make a bracha on bad. So we say Baruch Dayan Emes when bad things happen. So the Gemara says in the future, we're going to say only Baruch Shech, we won't say Shechayana, we won't say good things. So Shlach says it doesn't mean that in the future everything's going to be good. It means that in the future we're going to look back on the bad that happened during the regular world before Mashiach, and we're going to see why it happened, why it's good. But you know, that means that's what Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu. You only can see me backwards. You only look back and see why bad things happen. When you're going through the experience, you can't understand it. That's what Chok means. Chok means there's certain things in life you're not going to understand as you go through them, and you have to accept the fact that it's God. And that's what I think the whole Hilchos Avelos is about. Hilchos Avelos. People ask me one time, why do we say Kaddish? Why do we mourn? So it's really amazing. There's a psychological study done in Israel that explained that so people go through the mourning process much easier time getting on with their life than someone who doesn't. So know that the way other people mourn, they have parties. Even Jewish people mourn that way. It's sad. Jewish people, the whole point of Avelos is ruined by having a party after someone dies. Because the point of Avelos is you're supposed to sit on the ground and not say anything. Anybody, you say minimal things, speak about the person who died, and you just focus on that for 7 days. Why is that? And the truth is a broader question. Why do Jewish people have on a calendar, especially this coming time, this is the introduction to the calendar, because next week we start Shabbat, sometimes 3 weeks, and then 9 days. So every year we go through mourning. We go through as if we had lost a closer relative. Why do we have to go through that every year? Judaism is looked at viewed as very depressing because all we do is mourn all day. We mourn for 3 weeks during the summer, mourn throughout the year. But why is the point of this mourning? So I think it's a very powerful thing. The mourning teaches us how to live a life because life is about loss. Whatever you're going to say about life, people lose things. Bad things happen. And you have to acknowledge that. If you ignore bad things that happen, if they say everything's good, they're a little crazy. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. You have to acknowledge that things are bad. Life has bad stuff happening. You can't just ignore it. So I think that's why we go through mourning, because we have to understand why mourning makes a big difference. Mourning helps you with this issue. So how does it help you with this issue? Because the word mourning, aval, avilut, comes from the word aval. Aval means two different possible things. One is definitively. Rashi says that when God promised Abraham a son to Sarah, he says, that definitely Sarah is going to have a child. Aval means definitely, definitively. The other thing aval means is obviously but, however. You know, you say, aval means but, however. So we say point A, but point B. But is a transition word. So there's two things that mourning avilut gets, you get out of it in order to deal with your life. First thing is to definitively accept the person who died. It's something that I know people who left 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and not over the death. I know someone, a relative of mine, his sister died when she was 35 years old, he kept cancer. And he never got over it. Never. He still, to this day, he still mourns. He can't get over it. He's totally torn apart. The reason is because he didn't mourn. He didn't mourn her. Mourning means you All right, you sit on the ground. You accept the fact that this person's gone. This person's not in your life anymore. Then but means the avam but means you transition. Then you can transition into your life. The only way you can transition is to accept what happened. Acceptance is the hardest thing, but the only way you can do it is you sit down on the floor for 7 days and you say Kaddish. So why do people say Kaddish? It's because that's what God's great. Well, why say that? Because you're saying you accept the fact that God did this to you. So you praise God. You say, God, I don't understand you, but I accept it. I accept it. That's why Kaddish is so powerful. Kaddish is saying that God is great. God knows what he's doing. I don't know exactly this Rashi. Zeru he will find. This is a Xer in front of me. You have no assurance, you have no permission to question it. This is my, you have to accept it. You don't like it, you have to accept it anyway. That's what Kaddish is. That's the purpose of Kaddish. So the purpose of Avelos is the same thing. So basically that's why we have to go through this every year, because we have to learn this concept. We've learned when things, bad things happen in the past, the bad things happen, you can't change it anymore. You have to accept it. It doesn't mean you can accept the future. The future you can change. But the past, once it happens, you have to learn to accept life with that loss. People lose things. They lose parking spots, and they lose relatives. I mean, there's a lot of things you lose in life. There's a big gamut of things you lose in life. So this helps us live our lives. This time of year, when we go through Avelos, helps us live our lives. And that's what Parashat Shlach is all about. And if you look at the story with Moshe, it's amazing. It's an amazing story. Moshe says, so there's different opinions about what Moshe did wrong when he hit the rock. Rashi's famous one says that he hit the rock, but some say no, that's not what happened. Some say he says Shimon Amaram. Shimon Amaram means, listen to ye, O rebels. So some say since Moshe called the Jewish people rebels, so that's why. So there's like probably 10 different reasons why Moshe, in the Rishonim, why Moshe was punished. But whenever you see that, I always explain, whenever you see that there's 10 people say different opinions, it's like none of you died. It's like 10 different reasons why he died. I mean, why they died. So what's the reason? So the answer is, whenever you see that, it means that we don't really know the reason. So again, this is in Parshas Chukas perfectly, because we don't know. We just don't know. But if you look at Rashi says a famous thing, and it's very hard to understand. I never heard anyone, my Rebbe asked this question, but really, you don't see this in traditional sources, but it's such a strong question, I don't have understood it. So Rashi Lakti Shani in page 844 in the second column, Lakti Shani. Says Shilu Dibatimel, so if you would have spoke to the rock, Vahotzi, and water came out of it, Haisi Makudash Leinai, that I would be sanctified in the eyes of the nation. So God needs an ego boost. So basically, it's a kavachomer. A rock that doesn't speak, he doesn't hear, and he doesn't need food, he listens to God. So all the more so you should listen to God. So the kavachomer, so it says, this dumb rock listens to me, you should listen to me. So he says, right? So the reason dumb rock doesn't listen to you, because the dumb rock doesn't have choice. It doesn't choose anything. It's a robot. So just like this robot listens to God, so you should listen to God. What kind of kavachomer is ridiculous? I mean, really, it's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. Rashi wrote this like no problem, like it's no issue. He quotes from the Medrash. So what does that mean? I mean, what could Rashi mean? So I tell you the answer. It's an amazing answer. Let me give this answer. The answer is that we are rocks. We don't have choice. What do we have choice? Rambam says the sword of the world, that we have choice. Two levels of choice. One level of the choice is overall picture of life. Do I have a choice whether Mashiach is going to come or not? I can't affect that. Mashiach is going to come. There's no question. In fact, whether I'm going to die or not, that's God's realm. It's not mine. I can't choose. My free will can't affect that. My free will can't affect the big thing. The only thing that my free will could do, if the Rambam says in Hilchos Teshuvah, affect you, except you. Affect you. That's why the Rambam, when he brings the laws of free will, he doesn't bring in the laws of... He says when he describes the laws of free will, he says, this is Amud Yishol Torah, this is the pillar of the whole Torah, is that a person has free will. Because if you don't have free will, then basically your life is meaningless. I mean, you're a robot. So that's when people say this, you can't believe in God if you don't believe in free will. If you don't believe in free will, there's no point in life. Life is meaningless. But the Rambam says it's only about you changing yourself. You can't change the world. You only change yourself.
That's why he brings the laws of tshuva, not in the halachas of Yisrael Torah. It's the foundation of Torah. He doesn't bring in the halachas of foundation of Torah. It's the foundation of Torah. He bring in the laws of foundation of Torah. Then he brings the halachas of tshuva, because tshuva is about changing yourself. It's about you. You can't affect anything else except yourself. There's only thing you can change with your free will. But it's a big deal. That's God gives free will to change ourselves, to become a certain human being ourselves to become. But the fact is that we cannot change the big thing. Free will doesn't give us the ability to change. We could try to influence things. A lot of people do. A lot of people try to make things they can change the world. You know, like Tears for Fears. Everybody likes wants to rule the world. Everyone wants to change the world. Everyone wants to change the world the way they want. They look at the world. They want to impact the whole world. But the Torah is telling you, you can't do that. You can't change the whole world. So therefore, Rashi is saying that the Jewish people would have learned from Moshe's action that in terms of history, we're like rocks. We have no choice. And therefore, we should listen to God, because we're not going to change history. If you think the Jewish people are going to prevent the Jews from going to Israel because they choose to listen to their spies, it's not going to help. You're just going to die. You're going to be lost. Like Mordechai said to Esther. Esther says, I can't go in. He's going to kill me. So Mordechai says, what do you care? He's going to kill you. The Jewish people will say that anyway. You're not going to affect what you think. You're here to save the Jews. You can't save the Jews. The Jews are going to be saved or not, with you or without you. The only difference is you, Esther. You're going to impact the way how the Purim is celebrated, not whether Purim is celebrated, whether it's a miracle. You can't affect the big things. You affect you, and you can affect the big things by giving your personality to the world. Putting your own purview in the world, and because of you, there's going to be highly Purim. It's not going to change what happens. The Jewish people are going to survive with or without you. The big things are not in your hands. It's the small things. It's your personality, your approach to life, your impact on the world is invaluable, because you as a person are unique. And that's what Moshe really failed to teach the Jewish people. He failed to teach Jewish people that you can't focus on change the whole world. You're not going to change the whole world. You only change the whole world if you give of yourself to the world. Then you change the personality of the world. You change the way things are done, how of the world, not the what of the world. So Parashat is about the what. So, but we have to accept the fact that God is in control of the what of the world. And that's why the Rambam says he says there's different levels of understanding what mitzvahs are. He says one level is the reason for the mitzvah. The reason for the mitzvah. We'll never understand the reason of the mitzvah. That's God's motivation for the mitzvah. How do I know what God's motivation is? The answer is it's what he wanted to do. It's like say, we're creating an image of God. What does it mean we're creating an image of God? The image of God means, means the Rambam says it means it has to do with choice. Because it has to do with the fact that I say, if you ask someone, why did you eat breakfast? I'm hungry. That's why you don't have to eat breakfast because you're hungry. You're not forced to. So I want to know why you did it. What compelled you to do it? So I don't know. I mean, because I wanted to eat breakfast. So that's right. And that's true for anything you do. Anything you do, it's because you want to do it. What do you mean? What justifies it? I need to justify what I do. I need to explain that the reason I took a shower is because I felt dirt. Yeah, but you felt it. You chose it. It means what's the reason? There's two different levels to choice. There's reason and purpose. Purpose means what did I get out of this? What did I get out of this? So the purpose of this was to get clean. The purpose of this was to get fast from my hunger. That's purpose. But the reason is only one reason for everything you do, because you wanted to. We try to ignore that. We try to deflect responsibility. We try to say, you make me happy. You make me angry. No one makes you happy or angry. It's an English. It's like a Freudian slip. So basically, when you say you make me angry, you're saying I have no choice in the matter. I got angry because you made me do it. But the truth is we all have the choice to do it. That's the reason you do it is because you want. The reason you were angry, not because that guy forced you to be angry. You're angry because you want to be angry. So Ram says that this level of reason we're not going to understand. God wants to do it. No motivation of God we don't get. Just like we don't understand all our motivations at the end of the day. The purpose of the mitzvah is something that we can understand when it comes to mishpatim. When it comes to mishpatim, because the laws that are not chukim, the laws are like don't murder, don't steal. We see a purpose for it. Makes sense. Purpose that you can attribute to chok. Chok doesn't have a purpose. It has a purpose. We don't understand the purpose. But there's a third level called tam mitzvah. Tam mitzvah means the taste of the mitzvah. the reason, if they understand there's three different levels, it's very important. Because reason is out of our realm, but purpose is in our realm. But this tamis is a different thing. Tamis means, how do I look at the mitzvah personally? What's my taste? It says, like in Hebrew, we say, al tam v'reich ein lehitvakeach. You can't fight about taste and smell. Because it's personal. It's beauty in the eyes of the beholder. So when it comes to mitzvahs, we can understand the Rambam says you have to understand what the paraduma is, but not on a level of reason or purpose. It's because of the time what you get out of the mitzvah. So when the Rambam says that, when it says in Gemara Brachos that you can't say al kan sipur yirach bacha, you can't say that because of God told you to take the mother bird away and then take the eggs because God has mercy on his creatures. You can't say that. But because we have mitzvahs like shechita, we slaughter animals, we do things. So people learn that Gemara to mean, therefore you should be cruel to animals. No, it's not true. The Gemara is saying that you can't attribute a purpose to that, this mitzvah. But you can attribute time to mitzvah. We can learn things from the mitzvah. You should be merciful. It doesn't mean you can learn a time mitzvah. You just can't give a purpose to the mitzvah because it's a chok. So God says to it, it's a chok. But learning things out of the mitzvah is a very beautiful thing, and that's what the Rambam says about chukim. Chukim are things that you can't understand the purpose behind it or the reason behind it. You can't understand the time. There's a time to the mitzvah. So the idea of Parshas Chukas is basically telling us that there are certain things in life which are beyond our ability to understand. We have to accept that. We have to learn to, like a beilut, with mourning. There's certain things that you have to accept. That's why the whole parsha is about that. So that's Parshas Chukas. So Parshas Balak is the answer to this question. We sort of alluded to the answer already. So Parshas Balak is interesting in the fact that the whole story of Bilam is the only parsha in the whole Torah. Doesn't have any paragraphs. Doesn't have any paragraphs. No Parshas Psucha, no Parshas Sim. The thing I'm going to learn is with my Rebbe in Neshal, Nachum Lansky, he used to learn a Kabbalistic approach to parsha. He pointed this out, and it was a shocking thing. The whole thing is no paragraphs. So why is that? Why is there no paragraphs? This is just the last part about Pinchas, but besides that, there's no paragraphs the whole parasha. So, look at Rashi in Parsha Vayikra. He explained, I think that answer is embedded in that Rashi, beautiful Rashi. On page 544. Ayikra Moshe. So first of all, Rashi says, first Rashi, Chol dibros v'chol amiros v'chol tzivuyim kadma kriya. So all the dibros, all the amiros, all tzivuyim, all the mitzvahs in the Torah, kadma kriya, there's kriya first. Kriya means vayikra. So it's not just the same vayikra in this mitzvah that Moshe is being told when it comes to korbanos. It's every mitzvah was preceded by Vika. Why? Because Vika is a Lashon Chiba. So it's a language of love. This is the Lashon of Malach HaSharis used. And Malach HaSharis is special. It's not just Malach HaSharis are the butlers of God. Why is that important? Because when the Jewish people said Nasa Venishma and Har Sinai, Malach HaSharis are the ones who said, Mi Gilo Rozu Rabbanai. Who taught to the Benachem? Who taught the Jewish people, God's children, this idea of Nasa Benishma? Right. So the Malach HaSharis said that. If we explain that, it's very significant. The Malach HaSharis are butlers of God. The butlers of God, they do things out of Nasa Benishma. Means they understood this idea of Nasa Benishma, that the Jewish people accepted God out of love. So that's why Malach HaSharis is significant over here, because this is all about love. The whole Torah is given out of love. Of a nivi umas olam nigalayim beloshin arai v'tuma. Shneimar vaykarel him el Bilam. So Bilam was specifically referred to as kar, cold, and tuma, arai v'tuma. So vaykarel him bo. So vaykar is a huge word. Vayikra, if you look at vaykra, word vaykra is a small aleph. So it says vaykar and then a small aleph. So what's with that? So it's explained that Moshe Rabbeinu It says in the Baal Turim that Moshe Rabbeinu was a humble person. He wanted to write by Yikar. So God says no, you have to write by Yikra, because by Yikar is Lashon Tuma and darkness and it's about death, but because the word Kar means cold. It also means because the word Keri, which means semen. You know why? Because semen. Most of the semen dies when someone has relations with men and women. So the way reproduction works is most of the semen die. There's only one of the semen that works. So it's really reproduction is revolves around death. And that's why woman cycle would say. When someone goes through the cycle, so the fetus has an opportunity to live. That's why someone goes to Nida, because Nida means, if two means someone has matana, means that they come into contact with death. That's what the beginning of our parsha says. Zosku says Torah, Adam Piyam Sol. Person who dies, a tent. The same thing when a woman goes through a cycle, it's a potential death. That's why tuma is involved, is associated with Nida. So that's why, as we're saying, Vayikar is a lotion of keri, which means semen. Because when during the reproductive process, most of the semen die. So one that lives. So when God called Bilam, he called him in this lotion of tuma, impurity, and death, and it's all negativity. But when it comes to Moshe, he called us with lotion chibah. So I always ask a question. If Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to be humble, he shouldn't be humble on behalf of the Jewish people. You should be humble on yourself. But to say that my nevuah from God should be like Bilam, it's insane to say that. It's not fair. I mean, why would you use your humility on the Jewish people? So we always ask this question. But the point is, we see over here that there's a subtle difference between Vayikar and Vayikra. So Vayikar is through Bilam in our parsha. It's through with Bilam was called. It says in our parsha that he was called with this Vayikar. He didn't have this love affair with God like the Jewish people had. Then it says, Rashi says, "Kol holich magil oznav v'choisur kol hashem." So when God called Moshe, so his voice went to his ear, and all the Jewish people were not listening, could not hear. Yochel af l'sakos ay kriya, tamgav v'der v'der kriya l'sakos. So then Rashi goes on to explain that there's paragraphs in the Torah. So. What's the purpose of having paragraphs in the Torah? Having sub paragraphs. So it says, "Litain Reva Chamoshe Lisbonim Ben Parshal Parshal Ben Inyan Leinyan." So in order for Moshe to have to be able to contemplate between paragraphs and ideas, all the more so for a hedget, for a regular person who learns from a regular person. So if God, someone learns from God, you have to contemplate. So we see that there's two Rashi's back to back. One speaks about Lashon Chiba, love, and the second speaks about paragraphs. What's the connection? The connection is very simple. When God spoke to Moshe, he did it out of love. It means Moshe Rabbeinu had to contemplate each thing, because if you care about something, you contemplate, you think about it, you give it serious thought. You didn't just go on. It's something you care about. Reviewed over your head many times. So the purpose of the paragraphs is to say, let's take a break and start thinking about it. That's why I was explaining. The paragraphs are like Roman numerals. Every new paragraph is the Torah's not divided up in chapters. Chapters are a Christian. The Jewish structure is the paragraphs. The small paragraph is like a subsection of the whole Roman numeral, and then the whole new paragraph means it's a new section. That's the way the Torah is divided up. So God, why do we do it that way? Because God's saying this is a paragraph. You have to think, contemplate what we just said. It's longer contemplation with Parsha Psucha, shorter contemplation with Parsha Stuma. So the idea is that if you love something, you're gonna think about it. You're gonna contemplate. You're gonna think about it, review it in your mind a lot. That's the difference between Moshe and Bilam. Bilam didn't care. Bilam, he's the same level of prophecy as Moshe, but he didn't have this element of love of chibah. That's why there's little paragraphs in Parshas Bilam, Parshas Balak. Because the whole story of Bilam, he didn't kind of, he didn't care. His whole story is Vayikar Bilam. That God approached Bilam with a happenstance. He didn't look at it as something special. Moshe, Jewish people, so that's why Bilaam cursed the Jews, tried to curse the Jews, he blessed the Jews. He blessed them for all the things that make them special, that God loves them. So Tznius, for example, we say, Ma tovo l'ach Yaakov, that the Jewish people didn't face one another. So Maseches Bava Basra speaks about Nezek Ria, that you can't put your window in front of someone else's property because you're looking at them, they're looking at you. It's not that private. You need privacy. And privacy the bracha doesn't fall on something unless it's hidden from your eyes. It's private. So basically, privacy is a very important aspect of Jewish law. And the reason is because it has to do with tzedakah, has to do with modesty, has to do with the idea that there's a relationship going on. It's, relationships make you vulnerable. Relationships are things that are precious to a person. So that's Vayikra. Vayikra is Lashon Chiba. So this is what Bilaam spat out. What he wanted to do was curse the Jewish people. And instead he blessed Jewish people with showing how precious they are to God and how the laws of the Torah bring out this preciousness, bring out this love. That's why Bilaam says he took advantage of the 1 second that God was angry, 1 millisecond God's angry, 660,000 seconds. In a tiny millisecond, God gets angry every day. So he thought about that. He says, if God gets angry every day, so that means really God's. If I could take advantage of that, that means God doesn't care about us. He doesn't care about the world. It doesn't matter. That's why Bilaam was the Rebbe of Molech. Molech, their perspective was God doesn't care. The proof is look at the world, so inefficient. The world is not a place of God. If God cared about the world, he made the world run to perfection, and everything should be good. The fact that there's some bad in the world means that God doesn't care. And that's a very hard question to answer. Someone who's an atheist says, the strongest question to have is atheists have is why bad things happen to good people. It's a very hard question to answer. There's no real answer. That's what he said. The Parshas Chulin is about accepting that. But Parshas Balak tells us the answer to the question. The answer to the question is what Esther told us and what Moshe Rabbeinu told us through Vayikra. God loves us not because the fact is evil in the world doesn't mean God doesn't love us. It means that God created a world where the purpose of the environment and the world is to create individuals that are special. And you can't have it without evil. Evil is necessary. Necessary evil. The evil is necessary evil in order to create individuals that are special and unique and beloved. You can't have that one without the other. Evil is necessary to create people. And people who are special and unique to God. And the only way we can have a relationship with God is if we choose it. And only we can choose an environment that there's real choice. Real choice between good and evil. Without good and evil, without evil, there's no concept that doesn't happen. That's what Mordechai told Esther. Mordechai told Esther, you can't change what's going to happen in the world. You have to accept that. But the whole reason the world is the way it is all this evil in the world is because maybe who knows? Maybe for this special moment in time that you became queen. So what do you mean this special moment in time? So Amalek says that's ridiculous. There's no special moments in time. God gets angry 1 second. One moment in time, he gets angry. And that's it. I can take advantage of that, and might makes right. So the fact that Esther's, the purpose of that moment in time is to say, is the evil at that moment in time is to tell us that we can create our own destiny, our own destiny in the sense of whether we're beloved in this world or we're not, or whether we're special or not. That has to do with our choice. And the only way we can have that choice is if we have evil in the world. And that's the only way it works. So that, I think, that's why I think Parshas Balak answers Parshas. Parshas Chukas. Chukas tells us there are certain things in life we have to accept. We can't change it. It's the way they are. They're God's decree. We have to accept it. But Balak tells us that the reason is because we don't want to be like Balak, Bilaam, and Amalek. We don't want to be like people who look at the world and say the evil in the world is there because God doesn't care. It's the opposite. God loves us and cares about us, and He wants us to have a relationship with us. One thing you can't do is force us to love him. You can't force someone to love you. All right? So put a gun to someone and say, love me or I'll kill you. It's not going to work. The relationship's not going to go well. But when you have a relationship with God, the only way you can love God is if you choose to love God. The only way you can choose to love God is the world of evil and difficulty. So this is the difference between Amalek and Jewish people. Jewish people look at the world as a place that is beloved, and places where beloved human beings can be could develop themselves and become unique. Amalek looks at the world and says, the world is a bleak place. It's terrible. God hates us. God wants to destroy us. And the battle between these two ideas are what the battle of the world is the big things end up changing because of this idea. And that's why even the small things in life, which Moshe Rabbeinu didn't teach Jewish people about, because of the big things. Big things are beyond our control. But the reason that is because we as individuals have to be able to choose to love God. And that's a meaning of life, literally the meaning of life. So Chukas delves into the meaning of life because that's what deals with death, the things that we can't understand. And if we take this approach, then we'll be able to deal with things in life in a much healthier way. We're able to look at life and say, yes, there are bad things that happen, and God is responsible for them. It's not God. God's not responsible for them. Like Harold Kushner's book. Harold Kushner's book, I think, was the worst influence on Jewish people in history. Basically, says that God doesn't have anything, nothing to do with evil. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because God's not involved in it. I mean, that's insane. I mean, it's literally a Christian idea. Satan is giving evil to the world. And God's chasing him. Once he catches him, evil will be bad. Will be banned. I mean, it makes no sense. The only thing that makes sense is the Jewish approach. Jewish approach says God is in charge of everything. God brings evil to the world. He created evil. It's not just about us. It's not just because man chose. It's not just man chose. God actually deliberately put evil in the world. We don't understand the details of that, but the reason is because we can't have a relationship without evil. Any relationship. Anyone who has a marriage that they say about the Gedolim that they never had any conflict is a dreamy. There's no such thing. Every marriage has conflict. Every relationship has difficulties. If it doesn't have difficulties, then it's not a real relationship. Relationship is about working through difficulties. That even though life sucks, even though things are terrible and things are bad, I still love you. And that's an amazing, powerful. That's basically, we explain this as Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is exactly this message. Rosh Hashanah is where we develop ourselves as individuals. And Yom Kippur is the day we use that individuality to choose to love God. That's really this the basis of the whole Torah. The whole Torah is this. And that's why Chukas Balak are so powerful when they're read together. Okay.
Sure.
Shabbat Shalom.
So how come, Rabbi, we never see a response from Moshe
to the situation?
Yeah, for the same reason. He suffered it. He tried to dominate Hashem in Parshas Vayeshlach, and he accepted it. He realizes this is not changeable. So the truth is that most things, that's not true. Most things you have to try to achieve or try to change things. So he did try. But at the end of the day, he accepted it because death is like something death, something life is unexplainable. There's no explanation why Moshe didn't go to Eretz Yisrael. But God says, like when Moshe said, why should I get the Torah? Rabbi Kiva should get the Torah. God says, shut up. Zera is the final. This is Zera. I decided that, and that don't ask questions. Turn things in life and ask questions. This is one of those things. Make sense?
Yeah. It's also interesting, like the whole concept of Avelu in relation to, like, even the way that we say, so like, the way we say Imesh Kafeish at weddings, yeah. Right? So it's sort of like, what's the purpose of that? Like,
the idea is that even if there's a concept of their genius, when you live, if you ask one of those world services, say, what's the secret to living world service? Say, we never got too high, we never got too low. Whenever things are happy, people look at it, make fun of you, and say, we can't be happy for 5 minutes. You have to bring up the structure of the temple. It is because that's why we have Avril in the calendar. You have to know that there's no such thing as that. We have to realize we're in a context of a world that is imperfect. It doesn't mean you should be sad, it just means you should be cognizant of the fact that there's certain things in life that just aren't going to go your way. And that's why I think it's beautiful in marriage, because that's the whole relationship with somebody else is saying, I don't rule the world. I don't control everything. Things are not always going to go my way. And when you get married, you have to look at the other person and say, take into consideration what they want. And that's the same thing with God. God has an agenda. We can't affect that agenda directly. We can only affect the agenda indirectly. And that's accepting God's agenda and saying, God has an agenda. We can't control that. We accept it. That's the same thing in marriage. Relationship with God is like the relationship with marriage. The only way you learn how to love God is you learn how to love your spouse. You learn how to love your relative. You can't understand how to love God. You can understand how to love a parent or a child, or a sibling or a spouse. And you can understand how to love God. So we learn through those relationships how to love God. And one of the things we learn in a relationship is things don't go your way. So when you love God, say, I love God even though things are bad. The world is the hard place. Yerushalayim is destroyed. So I still love God. And that's why I think it's very appropriate to finish it.
The purpose of reminding ourselves is for that thought exercise.
Accept the world the way it is. Accept the world the way it is. And I know God has good intentions. He's not trying to, like Bill and Mark said, that proves that God doesn't care about us. Just opposite. We say it in a wedding, but we say that God loves us, cares about us. Just like these two couples getting together. We love each other through thick and thin. That's what God is like. We love God through thick and thin. Even at a wedding, we're going to remind ourselves that the world is bad, but we still love is the main topic of the day. And despite the fact the world is bad, it proves God that God loves us. Because God put us in this situation, we can choose to love Him.
Thank you,
Abba. Good night of Shabbos.